It did feel like a different team. The self-inflicted wounds were, for the most part, gone away. Although, again, many interceptions left on the field yesterday. All right? That doesn't happen that way too many times. I'm not here to tell you that that's all Jameis. All right? There were a couple times where I think they were maybe a miscommunication. But like the Kyle Hamilton throw. Guys, it's just a bad throw. A worse non-play. I mean, honestly, if you're Kyle Hamilton, what the hell, bro? Like, I hate whenever you like criticize a defensive back for not making interception. They're like, that's why they're defensive backs. If it's thrown right to you, you should catch it. I don't think that's a hot take, by the way. Like, if you have to stretch out and make a play and it's, you know, a foot above you, hey, you just try real hard, little buckaroo, right? But if it is thrown, if it hits you when the hands are in the face, I'm sorry, you're a chotch. There's just no other way to put it. Now, that being said, I think the way I'm going to put it with Jameis, because I think this is really crucially important. I know today Kevin Stefanski said Jameis is the starter. And I think he is, until he isn't. I think Jameis has another probably couple weeks now. I'll be honest with you. I think he probably has the Chargers game because you have the bye after this. That'd be a logical place to go to DTR if you wanted to go to DTR. But I digress. Jameis just made them watchable yesterday. And even when the interceptions come, and guys, they will, right? Joe Flacco, when the interceptions came with Joe Flacco, because that's who Joe Flacco was. He is a gunslinger. He is a guy that tries to trust his arm, throws into double coverage, throws when he shouldn't. And we saw some of that with Jameis yesterday, too. So in terms of winnability with Jameis, I need to see more. And I think you should, too. This gets back to the question of how much did yesterday change for you when it came to the Browns? I'm in no way convinced that we're about to rattle off five straight wins and get to 6-6. But that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That means by December 15th against the Chiefs, you're playing to get above 500 if they won every game from here till then. So the road still is incredibly uphill. And I think the most likely scenario, if Jameis plays the rest of the season, is probably 8-9. Well, actually, no, that's not the most likely scenario. The most likely scenario is you get enough wins to be out of position to go and take the quarterback of the future. That's not something we should care about today, but it is something we'll care about. The Lovey Smith effect in early January when we're like, oh, they got the 14th pick. There's not a shot in hell we're going to draft a quarterback, at least not like the best quarterback, but I digress. I do think, and this is something that I said last week, I think Jameis is going to make it more entertaining. And unfortunately with Deshaun, the Browns were a lot of things that just were unpalatable. They weren't fun to watch. They didn't have a good energy, as you heard Ross Tucker talk about the energy on that on CBS, right? And on the call we just played. They weren't incredibly likable, right? So you're not fun to watch. You're not likable. Oh, there's immense pressure every... I think that's... Like, when we tell this to our kids about the bleep show that was the Deshaun trade and the contract, let's remember that every throw was graded with the severity and weight of like a Super Bowl pass. That's how toxic it got to the end. So am I certain that Jameis is going to lead you out of the abyss? Nope, don't have to be. That's something that will unveil itself for the next couple weeks. Am I certain that Jameis isn't going to at some point annoy the living daylights out of everybody with the way that he handles pre and post game in his press conferences? I cannot tell you that either. That'll be based, as is everything else, on wins and losses. But do I think that the pressure is gone and that the football is going to look more fun even if it leads to losses? Yep, that's enough for me today. I'd love it if I could. At one point, we're going to have to get into the conversation about do the roads lead back to the playoffs. Today, Browns football is fun again. Winning, and here's the other thing. They're going to compete. I didn't know. Like, we got to think of how bleak it is when you can't trust the offense or the team to compete. In game, you're like, eh, it's not going to happen. That's how bleak things were. Even in that Cincinnati game, which was wildly winnable, and now they look even dumber for not having Jameis as the backup, because if Jameis is the backup in that game right now, you're 3-5, and we are talking playoffs because we're just high on the hog. I don't even know what that means. It just sounded right. That dog will hunt or won't hunt. One of those two things. Someone get Chris Runn in the line. But yes, it makes the DTR thing look even dumber 2 weeks ago, but for now, that's not the conversation. For now, the conversation is, oh, we can exhale and we can root for the Browns again, and Sunday at the stadium feels good again. It's not where we want to be, but it's better than where they were. 216-474-0092. Should you keep Jameis? And you know what? I'm going to hold on to that because I was going to go trade deadline with that. I'm not doing that. We'll throw that in when JP takes over as my co-host in about an hour and a half time. However, the question is, how much did yesterday change things for you with the Browns? Let's go with Tim in Cleveland. What's up, buddy? Timothy? Tim? Man, I was really excited for Tim because he had the byline there was really, really nice. Was that on you? Are you doing this right? You screwed up, Mac. You'll become the new Deshaun Watson real, real quickly. We're looking for a new Deshaun Watson.
Look, the phone is on. Except
okay, Kevin Stefanski.
The phone is on. It's up to him to take advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah, the phone is on. The foot is such. Walt in Burden, what's up, buddy?
How you doing? Hey, you know, you made a statement a couple of seconds ago about the Kyle Hamilton dropping that the interception.
Mm-hmm.
I recall seeing on the NFL Network, and I mean, a few months back, it was a historical outlook on the Jets. Browns playoff game that went into a couple overtimes, and they talked to Bernie, and they said, you know, did it concern you that they came close to interceptions? He says, no. He says, if the guys could catch, that would be receivers anyway.
Okay, so that's where the cliche emanates from. I did not know that was Bernie.
Well, yeah, I don't know if anybody said it before Bernie. I mean, like, you know, but that is where I heard it the first time.
Well. Yep. We appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much. Go Browns.
Hey, and go Browns, indeed. Have a good one.
You too. Walt from Burden there, giving us that. Curtis from Cleveland, what you got for us, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
Living the dream. What you got for us?
Okay, so let me tell you. I don't think if you had Joe Montana as your quarterback, when your team is giving up more sacks than any team in the league and dropping more passes than any team in the league, you're not going to win. So we got to stop pointing fingers at Deshaun Watson and start using common sense, especially when you're making more penalties. The thing that they did is they got rid of the guy that led the league and dropped Patterson, Amari Cooper, and they put a kid out there who can catch the ball. And last week with Watson them, he had almost 90 yards. This week he had 100 yards. They got a guy who can hold on to the ball. This has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. And people who say that are ignorant. You have an offensive line.
Or they have eyesight.
No, they're ignorant because they had two more offensive line yesterday. Wyatt Teller was back at right guard, and they had Juwan at left tackle, and they also had Nick Chubb. So people who are pointing finger at the side watches are just flat-out ignorant. They got a receiver that can catch the ball now.
Curtis.
I'm just giving you numbers.
Yeah, but what you're saying, like, Deshaun couldn't crack 200 yards. Jameis in his first start cracked three.
Amari Cooper dropped 9 passes in 6 games. You want him to be Buzz Bunny and throw the ball and catch it and block for himself?
No, I'd like him. No, see, this is the problem. Curtis, I thank you for the call, buddy. I would like, just to the audience, I'd like you to strike the last 4 minutes of phone calls from the record because they in no way move the conversation forward. That is on me. I take ownership. Curtis, stop. Buddy, get it. I get it. You've held on to hope. You planted a flag that says, I'm a Watson warrior, and Deshaun will set us free. No, he couldn't set himself free. Deshaun is done in this town. And I don't say that with mirth. I don't say it with excitement. I don't say it with happiness. I mean, the only thing I'm happy about is the Watson wars are done. That has less to do with Deshaun and the toxic environment of where this thing was after 3 years and a situation birthed by the Cleveland Browns themselves. But no, stop. Stop polishing a turd. Deshaun sucked. He won't play here again. If he is here, it's going to be as a third backup quarterback inactive, whatever. Just stop. Because it doesn't matter. Nothing you say is going to talk Deshaun Watson back into the Browns' plans. That's probably best for the Browns. It's certainly probably best for Deshaun. 216-474-0092. We will get the show on track. Next, the question is, how much did yesterday change things for the Browns? Now, while we're in the business here of enjoying Jameis Winston, we got to talk about pre- and post-game Jameis next on 92.3 The Fan.